Jo. It keeps me humble. Humility is my friend. I need more of it. So God's given me lots of visions in the last 10 years, especially the last 6 or 7. And I got to tell you, I struggle with sharing them. I know that because of pride, I've shared too much about my visions. Like, ooh, don't you wish you was cool with me? And then there are other times, because of pride, I've shared too little because, oh, I just don't want to take any more hits or people think I'm weird, you know? So I'm still trying to figure it out. But God's good. So what I want to do tonight is I want to share some dream basics. So all this was so you can get to know me a little bit better, all right? So what I want to do is I want to share some dream basics. I want to share some sources of dreams and some practical tips that you can employ for dream interpretation. And then we'll open it up for some questions. And, you know, if you have some dreams or whatever. How late do you guys usually go on a Wednesday night? Okay, great. Okay, some dream basics. Number one, dreams are fun. You might want to take notes. Dreams are like puzzles or mysteries that just demand to be solved. Have you ever walked into a doctor's office? I haven't seen it here yet, but back in the States, some doctor's offices, they have in the waiting room, they have a table, and they'll have a jigsaw puzzle on the table. It's almost like irresistible to be drawn to that puzzle and think, maybe I could put just one piece in place. You know, that's what dreams are like. I remember being on a flight once. I used to travel a bit and teach on this stuff. I was coming home from somewhere, and I had an elderly woman next to me. She was a sweet old lady, probably in her 80s. And we got to talking, and I've gotten in the habit on planes to not tell people I'm a pastor. If I tell them I'm a pastor, it's like, man, shields go up. You know, they put the earbuds in. They just shut down, right? Oh, no, I'm sitting next to a minister. I don't want to have anything to do with them. I don't know why that's the case, but boy, it's true. But if I tell them I teach on dreams, I teach dream interpretation, travel to teach on dreams, ooh, now the walls come down. They want to tell me everything about their whole life. Tell me every dream they ever had. And so this sweet old lady told me a dream that she had when she was like 6 years old. And she shares the dream with me, and in one part of the dream, and this is pretty common occurrence in dreams, she's naked in the dream. Now, it was a long flight. We had spoken for a while. It took her a while to get to the place where she was even willing to admit this. She was choked up. She was in tears with shame that she'd actually have a dream where she was naked in public. And so I listened to the dream, and I got choked up just, you know, wanting to share back to her. I said, this dream had nothing to do with you being inappropriate, with you violating any type of social norms. It had nothing to do with that. I said, this dream was saying that you're transparent, that you're the type of woman who has nothing to hide. She cried. She cried on that plane. I love doing this. How long did she carry that pain? And in a conversation with a stranger, that burden could be lifted from her. I love it. I love it. Dreams are fun. They're like puzzles. Consider Proverbs 25:2. It is the glory of God. Scripture says, Proverbs 25:2, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter. It is the glory of kings to search a matter out. Right? God will sometimes woo us. He'll draw us in by giving us a little bit, and he wants us to pursue him further on. It's like when I was dating Nadine, right? She just let me chase her and chase her and chase her until she let me catch her. You know, that's kind of how it worked. Sometimes God woos us in the same way. He's drawing us in. He's drawing us in. And he gives us things like dreams or sometimes visions so that we will... I have water right there. Yeah. I'm good. So that we'll search it out further, that we'll look deeper into what it is he's trying to tell us. God put that curiosity in us. So even if we don't remember them, we all dream. Everyone dreams. My daughter explains to me that if we didn't dream, we would go crazy. We'd have some type of emotional or mental breakdown. Everyone dreams. Few of us remember our dreams. But then there are those occasions where you wake up and, man, you remember every detail of that dream. You couldn't forget it if you wanted to. And some of us is kept like that lady on the plane. She's carried that dream with her whole life. But and those who remember their dreams, like the lady on the plane, they're eager to have these dreams interpreted. They're eager to understand them. And I got to tell you, I've used dream interpretation as a means to reach people outside the church, the unchurched, the unbelievers. It's one of the best non-confrontational bridges I've ever found between the church and those outside the church. It's been a whole lot of fun. Everybody dreams, believers and non-believers, and they're all eager to find out what they mean. Just tell someone that you've taken some classes on dream interpretation. They'll tell you all their dreams. So we've got another, maybe another 30 minutes of instruction. And this is probably part of some 70 hours of material that I have. So like I said, we're gonna water ski. Let me begin by saying that dreams, not only are dreams fun, they're biblical. Dreams are biblical. Sometimes I've done these outreaches where we'll set up a booth or a tent at a county fair, or one place that we lived in had those hydroplane boat races. We'd set up a tent there and we'd do this stuff. And the people would love it. The only people who give us a hard time are the other Christians in town. It's like, dude, dreams are biblical. Old and New Testament, God spoke to people in dreams, right? And so I would tell that to some of these people. They're like, God didn't speak in dreams. They're like, dude, read the book. I'm telling you, it's right in there. And so here's some, there's clear biblical evidence that God speaks to people through dreams. Job 33, verse 14 and 16. It says, "For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, while slumbering in their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction." I don't know. That's pretty clear saying God speaks in dreams, right? Numbers 12:6, it says, "Now hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream." God speaks to people with prophetic giftings in dreams and visions. Acts chapter 2, Peter's quoting Joel 2 on the day of Pentecost. And this is what he says. "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, when I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams." I don't know. Sounds like dreams and visions are significantly pointed out, given a pretty significant place or position on the day of Pentecost. So as spirit-filled believers, I don't know. I think we should expect that they're part of the mix. Now, I won't go into it tonight, but just ponder this. It says in that verse that in the last days, God will pour out his spirit on all flesh. Does that say all believing flesh? All flesh. All is all. Have you ever wondered why there are some people out there outside the church and they seem to be able to do things that we can't do? I think some of God's kids are out there and he wants his kids back. Yeah, and some of them have significant levels of anointing. So I look at Revelation this way. Anybody have a satellite dish instead of cable on their house? Anybody got a satellite dish? So many people, right? Having revelatory gifts, having prophetic gifts, the ability to see visions or interpret dreams, it's like having a satellite dish. Now, you can point that dish to different satellites, and you can pick up different signals. I think as believers, we're pointing our satellite dish to the light side of the force. And I think as unbelievers, they're pointing to the dark side of the force. They're just picking up on a different signal. But they're still gifted to pick up the signals. I'd love to get my hand on some of those people and say, "Hey, let me give you a whole new package. You're going to love this programming." Biblical examples, I won't read the verses, but if you want to write these down, biblical examples of divine communication through dreams. In Genesis 20, verse 3, in a dream, God cautioned Abimelech about taking Sarah as his wife. In Genesis 28, 11 to 22, in a dream, Jacob sees angels ascending and descending. In Judges 7, verses 13 to 15, Gideon is encouraged by the Midianites' dream. In Genesis 37, 5 to 10, in a dream, God reveals to Joseph what's going to happen in the future. Genesis 40, Joseph interprets the butler and baker's dream. In Genesis 41, Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream. So not only dreams, but dream interpretation. There are biblical examples of this. Daniel interprets Nebuchadnezzar's dream in Daniel 4. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, God tells Joseph to marry Mary in a dream. Joseph's given additional instructions via a dream in Matthew 2, verse 13, verses 19 and 22. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 12, the wise men are warned not to go to Herod in a dream. And in Matthew 27, verse 9, Pilate's wife dreamt about Jesus, that he was a good man. Dreams are biblical. Plenty of evidence in both the Old and New Testament about this. We ought to know about it then. Right? It's in the book. Dreams are historical. Throughout church history, dreams have played a role. Polycarp, and he lived between 69 and 155 AD. He was a disciple of St. John, and he dreamt he would be martyred in Rome, and he was. Christian theologian and apologist Justin Martyr, he lived from the year 100 to 165. He believed in the positive spiritual effects of dreams. Irenaeus, a bishop of Gaul, considered dreams a means of contact with God. Saint Augustine, one of the most influential figures in church history, he referenced dreams as an important way that God spoke to humanity. In Confessions of Saint Augustine, the City of God, the City of Man, he writes how dreams changed his life. Saint Thomas Aquinas, spiritual giant of the Middle Ages, an extremely influential theologian. He was of the opinion that dreams could have a spiritual origin from God, brought by angels, or have a demonic origin. He also experienced visions. One of his visions occurred while he was working on his 21-volume Summa Theologica. When the vision ended, he's already written 21 volumes, right? After his vision ended, this is what he wrote. I can do no more. Such secrets have been revealed to me that all I have now written appears to be of little value. Then he put down his pen and he never wrote again. Wow. Impact of a vision. St. Thomas. Dreams have impacted our culture. The sewing machine. Elias Howell got the idea for a sewing machine in a dream. Albert Einstein got his theory of relativity in a dream. Otto Lewis, Nobel Prize winner in medicine in 1936, made his discovery from information gathered in a dream. Painters like William Blake or Jasper Johns or Salvador Dali, they've all been inspired by their dreams. Anybody remember the Beatles? Paul McCartney's song Yesterday, he got that song in a dream. The Mamas and the Papas, California Dreamin', am I dating myself now? They got the inspiration in a dream. And other authors as well. So back on February 11th, we get the announcement on the news that the Pope resigns, right? And so that day I was up before Nadine. She was still sleeping and I kind of got my day started, and my home office is directly across from the bedroom. So what I'll normally do is I'll close the bedroom door and then I'll close my office door so I can put the news on the television and not disturb her. I don't want to wake her up. And so, I don't know, I was up for a little while and then I could hear her, you know, hear her getting up, you know, rumbling around. And as she passes by the office door, she could hear the announcement that the Pope resigns. First time in 600 years, the Pope resigns. She comes busting in the office and she says to me, did they just say that the Pope resigned? And I'm like, yeah, they said the Pope resigned. She says, I had a dream last night that the Pope resigned. And I'm thinking, I'm in my dream, I'm telling people, the Pope doesn't resign, he dies. She says, I can't believe the Pope resigned today. Now, we have a box for dreams, and so it's not uncommon in our mornings while we're having coffee to say, hey, you have a dream last night. Well, we never got to the coffee part this day. And so we discussed and she said, why do you think God would tell me that the Pope was going to resign? Why would I have a dream the night before about this? Like, how do we interpret that dream? I mean, who is she going to tell? I'm here on Prince Edward Island. Who do I wake up in the morning? It's already on the news. What is this about? I said, honey, this is what I think it means. That God's going to be speaking to you in your dreams and he wants you to know it's him and he wants you to pay attention to your dreams, right? So about 5 days later, now over this last month or so, she's had lots of dreams. But my wife's an author. She's written a book. She has a novel that she's written, really, called Prisoner of Circumstance. I'm so proud of her. And she's been working on a second novel. She's probably, 3/4 of the way done with that second novel. Well, she wakes up about 5 days later after the Pope is resigning dream. And she said, man, I had this amazing dream last night. So she sits down and she starts telling me this dream. And it's the outline for an entire book, for a new story, for a whole new book that has nothing to do with the other two books that she'd written. I think she had the Pope dream, so she'd pay attention to this dream. I said, honey, that's amazing. I said, that's an incredible story. I said, you got to write this one down. And so she's so eager to get this book finished because she can't wait to get started on the next one. God speaks to people in dreams. It impacts our culture. I remember teaching this class once and had a guy in the class and he told me this story, how he was the director of operations of a manufacturing plant. And they had one machine that was giving them lots of trouble. And they worked on this machine day after day and they just were not able to resolve the problem. And he has a dream one night about a nut that had came loose and was laying at the bottom of one part of this machinery. And he woke up so certain that this was right, he got in there the next day, he says, I want you to take this piece apart, and you're going to find a nut at the bottom. And that's what's causing all the trouble. And the guys are saying, man, it's going to take us a few hours to get that piece out, to get to the place where you're saying the problem is. He says, do it. You know, they took that machine apart, and don't you know the nut that he's seen in his dream was down there. It saved them, in the long run, it saved them thousands of dollars in downtime, getting that machine up and running. God can speak to us in our dreams. It can have very real and practical application to our lives. So what I use, I like to tongue-in-cheek refer to as the ancient Hebraic method of dream interpretation, also known as biblical dream interpretation. It's an alternative approach to understanding dreams and visions. The approach I take is different from Freud or Jung. They believe that dreams can only originate from an internal source, that the dreams have to come from inside of us. I believe that dreams can have an internal or an external source. They can come from within us or they can come from without us. My daughter, like I told you, she has got her master's degree. When she was still in undergrad school, she part of her tuition deal was that she worked part-time for the university. And so she worked in the psych department doing secretarial work. She had worked for years as the church secretary. She was well acquainted with it. So she's there, and because she'd been my secretary and dreams had become part of the culture of our family and our church, she'd picked up a few things about dream interpretation. And so she's there behind the counter working, and these three students come in, and one of the girls is telling her two friends about a dream that she'd had the night before. And so the three of them are standing there, and they're using every Freudian or Carl Jung's methods of dream interpretation that they can, you know, muster, and they're getting nowhere. And my daughter tells me the story. She's sitting there thinking, oh, man, I know what this dream means. I know what it means, you know. Had nothing to do with the direction they were going in. And honestly, I can't remember the dream now, but it was one of the more basic examples of dream interpretation. And so my daughter's pretty introverted, but she felt like, you know, let me give this poor girl a break. She says, I didn't mean to over-listen, but my father teaches on dreams, and so I think your dream means this. And I tell you what, when you offer somebody an accurate dream interpretation, the spirit of truth is on it. There's that aha moment. They almost kind of step back for a second. Okay? That's what happened in this instant. Now, these girls had already spent thousands of dollars in their education, and they threw that all out the window in a heartbeat because they could feel in their spirit that this was right. And they embraced what my daughter had. And they were like, can you call your father? We have all these questions. And she's like, oh, I don't know. But we did talk about it some afterwards. And so she wrote down some of their questions and I answered some, you know, for them. Something powerful about the spirit of truth. Dreams are more metaphoric and less literal. Dream elements are symbolic. They're parabolic. They're representative. They require interpretation for understanding. This means that. More often than not, this doesn't mean this. This means something else. Most dreams are intrinsic as opposed to extrinsic. 95% of the dreams that you have are going to be about you. Maybe 5% of the dreams will be about something else. Now, there are some exceptions I've noticed over time to that. Sometimes people who have a strong calling to intercession, they have more extrinsic dreams. They have dreams about things that are not as often about them or less often about them. Maybe they'll have dreams about the church, or they'll have dreams for other people or whoever the people are they're praying for. Sometimes God will speak to them in their dreams. Church secretaries. My daughter was my secretary for years. Man, she'd wake up in the morning, she'd go to the washroom, come out and say, Dad, I had a dream. She was like the gatekeeper for the church, you know, or at least the gatekeeper to my office. And she said, I had a dream. And she would have dreams all the time about stuff that was going on in the church. Pastors have dreams that are about the church. Pastors' wives sometimes will have dreams about the church. Those are just some examples of exceptions. But for the most part, most of us, 95% of our dreams, they're probably about you. And that's okay. God's speaking to you about you. And this is what I've discovered. The Holy Spirit's required. You can't do this type of dream interpretation without Him. No matter what tools I give you, no matter what dream elements I might explain to you, you can't just plug and play and come up with a dream interpretation. It's kind of like Frankenstein. You might have all the pieces sewn all together, right? But there's no life in it. For there to be life in it, it's going to require the Holy Spirit's help to get from here to there. Dream sources. So I think there are three sources to dreams, and I think this is applied to visions as well. One is physical. Dreams can it can be physical, mental, or spiritual, but sometimes dreams are physical. They have to do with our bodies. For example, if I take NyQuil before I go to sleep, it just messes up my dreams. I have the wackiest dreams on NyQuil. It's just, I don't know why. I take NyQuil. It's like, if I dream that night, I'm not even going to. I don't know why. The chemicals in it somehow messes with my dream life. I've discovered that women who are pregnant have very unusual dreams, especially the longer they are in the pregnancy. I think they're picking up some of their dream and some of the baby's dream, and it's like watching two TV screens, one over the other. It's like, wow, man, it's a really strange dream. Before we moved here, I would go to a coffee shop in town every Tuesday night from 7 to 9, and I would offer free dream interpretation and what I call life readings, basically a prophetic word. That's non-religious language for a prophetic word. I would offer them life readings at the coffee shop for free. And this one gal comes in, man, I've interpreted lots of dreams now, and she's telling me the weirdest dream, one of the weirdest dreams I've ever heard. It's going all over the place, and I can't connect two dots to this thing to make any sense. And so I'm trying to be tactful, and somehow I found a non-offensive way to ask her, are you on any kind of medication? You know, I don't know how I did it, but she was not offended. I found a way to get from here to there. And she's like, oh, yeah. And she starts listing all these antipsychotic drugs that she's taking. I'm thinking, oh, okay, this is a body dream. This is a chemical dream. You know, and I explained to her that the medications that you're on are probably having some effect on your dream. So our bodies, our physical bodies, they can be one source for pizza dreams. Ever hear of a pizza dream? Right? Whatever you ate last night was so spicy, You had a wacky dream. That's one category for a sauce of dreams. Another sauce would be mental or the soulish area. Our mind, our will, our emotions. And basically, it's kind of like this, garbage in, garbage out. We were at a Barnes & Noble's bookstore once doing free dream interpretation. This 12-year-old boy comes up. He's got a whole stack of movies and video games, and one is more gory and bloody than the other, right? I could see the titles along the side. And we were offering free dream interpretation that day. They had made an announcement over the loudspeaker. And so he comes, he sits down, he says, "Man, I have these dreams and there's blood and gore." And he said, "You know, heads being chopped off, body parts." I said, "Does it upset you?" "Yeah, man, I hate it. It's really terrible." I said, "Oh, I look at your list. You're going to buy all those today?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You like that horror stuff?" He said, "Oh, I love it." I said, "So when do you watch it?" He said, I watch it at night. And he said, "Sometimes it's still playing when I go to sleep." I said, "You know what? You might want to try this. I bet if you watch something else before you go to sleep, your dreams are going to change." "You think so?" "Yeah, I really think so."